interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
So how many of you, you had to be growing up somewhere in the 60s, 70s, maybe early 80s, how many of you remember seeing that on one of the three or four channels that we could get when we were kids, right? That we would see that message, it would come on, and that tone, it seemed like it went on forever, didn't it? And it always came at the worst possible time, right? In the middle of your program when something was happening and we didn't have DVRs, we couldn't go back and look at it again, we couldn't rewind, we just missed a segment. So we'd watch it and say, this is a test of the emergency broadcast system, this is only a test. That program was established many, many years ago to give the government and the ability to break into all of the airways with pertinent information that it needed to share with us if there was some kind of a war, or some kind of attack, or some kind of a cataclysmic climate kind of thing, and it would come on, and so we'd get this, and then after a couple moments, the radio would say, if this has been an actual emergency, you would have been instructed where to turn in your area for news and official information, and then the program would just resume like nothing happened, right? So I wonder, we're in this message series where we are looking at the miracles of Christmas, where we are looking at the characters of that first Christmas story. We kind of kicked this off by looking at the whole area of miracles and looked at the fact that we believe that miracles still happen today, that God is still in the miracle-working business. And then we kind of looked at the life of Mary and saw that she had this disposition that she believed that nothing was impossible with God. And that was a great idea for us to just be reminded of the fact that really nothing is impossible with God. And then we looked at the life of Joseph and what must that have been like when God just interrupted and God got into his life and it was just, it was a mess for him. And how by listening to God, how Joseph was able to conquer the mess in his life. And we looked at how God helps us in the midst of the messes of our life. Well, today we're going to look at what happens when God interrupts our lives, similar to what that national PA thing did years and years ago. What happens when God just shows up and interrupts at various times and moments in our lives? And it must have been like that for the shepherds. You know, we don't know a whole lot about the shepherds. Their story is told to us in the Gospel of Luke. You know, the shepherds were out tending their flocks by night, right? Just doing their job, just showing up, doing what they've always done. Shepherds worked most of the time. They worked 24/7 kind of jobs. They were on all the time, and they were just there doing their job day in, day out. I can imagine how mundane it must have been for the life of a shepherd. And so God decides to show up and interrupt their regularly scheduled, programmed, boring existence with some spectacular news, with some amazing news, with some life-altering, life-changing, trajectory-changing news about the fulfillment of all the prophetic things that they had ever heard. That God was going to show up and do something pretty spectacular. So this morning, we're going to look at what we can learn from the shepherds about godly interruptions. And we're going to look at what might our position be or our disposition be in relationship to interruptions. And I'm going to pose a question at the end of our time together, asking you to evaluate, are you really open to how God might want to interrupt you and your plans and your life? But we need to go to the story. We need to see what happens when God decides to interrupt. So we're going to look at the story of the shepherds. It's told in Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Now, one of the things I love about Luke's gospel is that at the very beginning of his gospel, you know, sometimes people say, well, how do we know it's true? How do we know what the biblical writers actually wrote? How do we know that it's actually true? How do we know that they didn't make the story up? How do we know that they just didn't pick and choose what they wanted and kind of convoluted the story and made it say whatever they wanted it to say? Well, Luke tells us right at the beginning of his gospel, he says that he has carefully researched everything that he is about to report And he's sharing this with, we can just guess, a friend, Theophilus. Because he says, my dear Theophilus, after carefully examining all of the evidence and talking to the eyewitnesses about this, I'm going to present to you what I discovered. And Luke was a physician, so that means he was detailed. That means, like, preciseness was important to him. And so what he's going to do is to present to us the narrative that's based on facts. And so the very first thing that we should realize when we come to the text, to what Luke presents for us, is that it's true, all of it, 100% as it happens. He didn't embellish anything. He didn't change anything. He told the story that God wanted us to know. And so he's told the story about several things, and now he's going to tell us the story about the shepherds and about God interrupting their lives. So let's read the story, and then I just want to share with you what I think are some observations about what happens when God interrupts our lives. And what can we learn from the shepherds? Because the Bible should be something that we actually learn from, right? Like, how do we learn from Scripture? How do we make Scripture applicable in our lives? How do we make what God says in His Word, how do we make that relevant to our lives? And that's what we're going to do today. So the story of the shepherds from Luke's Gospel. He tells us, that night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven praising God and saying, glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. So again, I want us to think this morning for just a few minutes about what it means and what we can learn about God from interruptions. And here's the reason. I think godly interruptions are opportunities for God's miracles to flow. Let me say that again. I think godly interruptions are opportunities for God's miracles to flow. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, we must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. God will be consistently crossing our paths and canceling our plans by sending us people with claims and petitions. And so are you. Are you constantly ready for God to interrupt you? To interrupt your plans? To interrupt your schedule? To interrupt your to-do list? To interrupt everything that you want to get accomplished? Are you really open, really, to God interrupting what you want? You see, godly interruptions may be God's way of speaking to you through the Bible, through others, or through a spirit. Or they may be doors that are opened or doors that are closed. Godly interruptions might be experiences that have no natural explanation. Or godly interruptions might be something like an overwhelming sense that you have to do something or go somewhere or say something or hear something so that God can get your attention. Here's where we're starting. Here's where we're starting with interruptions. Is God reserves the right to interrupt at will to accomplish his purposes. So whether you're ready or not, want it or not, the bottom line is God reserves the right to interrupt at will to accomplish his purposes. The word that we use to describe what that means or to describe that character attribute of God is that we say that God is sovereign. That God is sovereign. It's one of his most distinguishing characteristics. In the simplest terms, when we talk about the sovereignty of God, what that means is God can do anything he wants, anytime he wants, anywhere he wants, because he's God. He can do anything he wants, anytime he wants, anywhere he wants, because he's God. Look at what the prophet Isaiah says about God. He says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." One of the beautiful things about Isaiah, and Isaiah has often been referred to as even the fifth gospel, because the prophet Isaiah talks more about the Messiah than any of the other books of the Old Testament. That the prophet Isaiah has been referred to in all the gospels, in Paul's letters, in the book of Acts. Isaiah has a lot of things to tell us about the Messiah. And so God wants to be ready, wants us to be ready, anytime, anywhere, to be interrupted. And so we're going to talk about that. But before we get there, we have to make sure that we have a firm grasp on God's interruptions and how they relate to us. You see, when God interrupts our lives, it is not something to ignore, because God's interruptions are always intended to accomplish God's purposes. His interruptions are always intended to accomplish his purposes. Why? Because God is sovereign. What does that mean? He can do anything he wants, anytime he wants, anywhere he wants. And so the first thing we have to recognize is that God reserves the right to interrupt our lives whenever he wants. It's kind of like that song, "It's My Prerogative." I am not going to sing it for you. But you know the song, right? Or should I sing it for you? You know, it's his prerogative to do anything he wants, anytime he wants, anywhere he wants. And we can either get on with that or we can push against that. We can either jump with it or we can go against it. We have a choice to make. But godly interruptions are always intended to accomplish God's purposes. A second insight that we can discern from the shepherd's story is that God loves to show up in the ordinary. You know, we so often look, I think, for God in the really big things. You know, when I drove up today, some of you know that I've like always wanted a Jeep. There's a Jeep parked in the parking lot at 6 o'clock this morning. And I'm like, my Jeep? I am sure it is not my Jeep. I did go over and look in, see if there's a bow in there or anything. It's kind of trashed on the inside, so I'm sure it's not mine. So we look for those big things, but the reality is God delights in showing up in the little things, in the ordinary things. I often said it this way. God likes to show up and show off in the ordinary things of life. Again, what does Luke tell us, right? In Luke 2, 8 and 9, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep, the ordinary. And God shows up in this spectacular sort of way. He didn't show up to the king and the queens and the princes and the princesses. He showed up in the common, everyday, ordinary life of a shepherd. Just like he showed up in the common, everyday, ordinary life of a teenage girl named Mary and probably a late teen, early 20-year-old guy named Joseph, and decided to do something spectacular in their lives. Well, last week, I had a friend share two stories with me. And both these stories related to his wedding that I had the privilege of officiating at not long ago. He says that when he got back from his honeymoon, one of his coworkers shared with him something that happened at the wedding. He said that the coworker had a pretty challenging life. He had survived two spouses, both who had died of cancer, and he had a son who fell somewhere on the autism spectrum, which meant that his life was pretty challenged. It was challenging for him and challenging for everyone else. And he said that his coworker said that in the midst of that wedding ceremony, during a common, ordinary message that I was privileged to give, God spoke to him. He said, actually, God spoke to him in a really profound way. And it spoke to him in this place that he knew, he just knew at his core, that he had to re-engage with God. And so he started praying. And then he started to reading a devotional. And so what that means is that God decided to show up in that ordinary event to accomplish his purposes, which were not just to bless that marriage, but to speak to somebody else in that audience, to draw him back to himself. Now, he told me that story, and I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I am humbled at that. That God would decide to use a wedding message intended for you and bless somebody else that might draw somebody else back to him. See, we never know when God might show up that way. When God might work a miracle of just drawing somebody back to him. Again, he did it for Mary and Joseph, right? God showed up to Mary and Joseph, spoke through the angel Gabriel to this young couple about the plans that he had for them. God showed up for the shepherds right in the middle of the night shift with an ordinary day, just like countless others that had happened before that one. God showed up for my friend's coworker through a pastor's message about marriage. Well, I wonder, where's God showed up for you? Because I believe that God is showing up all the time. I think we just miss him because we're either too busy or there's too much noise around us or too many things going on. But I believe that God shows up all the time. I believe actually he likes to do that. And I'm convinced that he really likes to do that in some of the most ordinary places of life. That's why I call it a miracle. So God reserves the right to interrupt at will to accomplish his purposes. God shows up. God loves to show up. And again, I would add, show off in the ordinary. A third insight that we get from the shepherds is that God loves to hook an extra onto the ordinary. I love this attribute of God. He loves to hook a little extra onto the ordinary, making things extraordinary. Did you catch the word that was said twice in the text that we read a moment ago? Suddenly. Luke tells us, suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them. And if that wasn't enough, he adds this little extra onto it, that the whole armies of heaven show up, declaring glory to God in the highest. Could you imagine what it would have been like to be a shepherd? You know, so often when I read the biblical story, I try to imagine myself in there. I can't even begin to imagine that one. Skies just filled with all the armies of God singing glory to God in highest heaven. The second story that my friend shared with me is something that happened to him just a few days ago. He had gone out with some of his coworkers for their annual Christmas party, and he decided to ride with one of his coworkers. You see, it's the last Christmas party that he's going to be able to attend with them because he's gotten a new job, and that's important for the rest of the story in just a moment. But he decides to ride with one of his coworkers, so he knew that he was going to take an Uber back to his apartment or back home. So he did the party thing, had fun with his coworkers, got on his phone, got the Uber. I've never done that. I think it'd be kind of cool. I think it'd be kind of fun. Wouldn't it be fun to just like have somebody pick you up and talk to him like that? And so he does this, and he gets in this conversation with his Uber driver because he's kind of a talkative guy, and he just loves to talk with people. And so he gets in this conversation, and it's a young guy who just so happens to be working Uber so he can save up extra money because he wants to ask his girlfriend to get married. He wants to propose, so he's saving money to get the ring and do all that stuff because he wants to have like this spectacular engagement and wedding and all that kind of stuff. And so he's telling my friend this whole story, which, you know, just so happened that he just got married, you know, like a couple weeks before, actually a week before. And so he's telling him this story, and my friend says he felt this overwhelming compulsion. See, God speaks to us in overwhelming compulsions. He felt God speaking to him with this overwhelming compulsion and said, give him all you got. And he had $100 on him, and he gave him a $100 tip, everything he had. Now, for some of us, we might think, well, $100, yeah, that's pretty cool. That's not, you know, it's a good amount, but it's not a ton of money. But it was all he had. As a matter of fact, when my friend continued to tell the story, he said, you know, what he didn't know was that his friend, was that he had actually had to let a couple of his bills go late because he had spent all of his money on his wedding and on his engagement and all. I mean, he literally had poured everything he had because he wanted it to be special and amazing. And so, you know, he spent everything he had. So he had a couple bills that were coming up and that they were late. But he knew that he would catch those up. The next day, he gets a call from the new company that he's going to work with and say, we're sorry. We made a mistake in your compensation. Because you're married, your moving expense is this. And it was a significant dollar amount. That's right. It was a significant dollar amount that I'm like, but you're not moving yet. He said, we have a year. You know, normally when you get those moving allowances, like you have to move, turn in your expenses, and they pay them and all that, right? Or they'll give you the advance as you tell them, hey, I sold my house, I'm moving into a new house, and they get it. But this company just like gives it to you ahead of time as just part of your compensation. And they say, if you don't spend it all, it's yours. And, you know, of course, you're taxed on all that kind of. But I wonder, what would have happened if my friend had resisted what I think was God prompting him to step out and do something outrageous for someone else. Now, you might be able to say, well, he was going to get the call anyways. I won't go there. Because that's what I believe about God. I believe that God likes to add the extra onto the ordinary things in our life. I think that God decided to bless him. He and his new wife. Because you know what? He had also told me, we were talking about how he's really striving to be faithful in his giving, of being a tither, giving 10% right off the top back to God. That he and his wife are really trying to orient their lives around Christ and the church and their relationship. And I believe that God does things when we're obedient. I believe that God does extra things to our ordinary when we seek to align our lives up with him. Let's go back to the shepherds. I love how Luke records that suddenly an angel appeared to the shepherds with a messianic announcement. The shepherds, I bring you good news, he says, that will be great joy to all, yes, all people. The Savior, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem. An ordinary, nothing special about it, been described as a one traffic light kind of town, though they didn't have those back then, Bethlehem. It was a nothing kind of town, an ordinary little town that God decides to use and adds a little extra onto the ordinary, again, when the vast armies of heaven show up and they start singing glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is well pleased. We got to go to the the Floyd Central Christmas, what's it called? Winter Fantasia. If you have not gone to that, people, you need to go to that Winter Fantasia. It sells out every year, so you got to get your tickets ahead of time. We went to that, and it was amazing. Do you know one of the coolest things of the whole concert? They did the Hallelujah Chorus with all the bands, all the choirs. There were in excess of 450 students on the stage. They said, what was that, a fourth of the student body was there. And they started singing that song. And you know what people do during that song, right? The people who get it, they stood up. Because the heavens were proclaiming glory to God in the highest with that song. Not everybody stood up. But you know what? Not everybody stands up. And that's why we have a job to do, to be responsive. Because God likes to interrupt at his will. He loves to show up and show off in the ordinary. He loves to add a little extra to the ordinary. And I think the next thing that we learn from the shepherds, and we actually learn this all throughout Scripture when we look at all the places that God just simply shows up in the lives of people, is that God's interruptions are illustrations of his grace. God's interruptions are illustrations of his grace. Look again with what the angel declared. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. Good, great, all. We should remember that. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him, the Savior, by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped in ordinary clothes, blankets, strips of cloth, lying in a feeding trough. God decided to show up and show off in a feeding trough, in a nowhere town, in the back of somebody's house, because nobody made room, not even family. That's actually what it really means. When it says there was no room in the inn, there really was no innkeeper because there wasn't really a hotel in Bethlehem. What the text is really saying is nobody in the family made room for this couple. And God shows up in that ordinary scene. But what we see in this story and all the other stories is that God does this for many reasons. His interruptions are illustrations of grace to do many things. First, I think he does that to direct us. I think God shows up so that he can get us to where he wants us to be, doing what he wants us to be doing, going where he wants us to be going, listening to what he wants us to be listening to. Psalm 37:23, David cries out, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. See, God wants to direct our lives. God, he doesn't want to just take over control and not let us have our freedom, but he wants to direct us so that we'll go to the places he wants us to go and do the things that he wants us to do and live the kind of lives that he wants us to live, all for our good, all because of grace. He didn't have to, but he wanted to. God shows up and interrupts our life as an example of grace, God giving us what we don't deserve just because he loves us. And he does this to direct us, to get us into direction of places. He does it as well to inspect us. God shows up to inspect us. Jeremiah says, I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. See, sometimes God shows up in our lives through people, through reading his scripture, through circumstances, through experiences, to have us inspect our lives. Are we doing what God wants us to do? Are we living obedient to what God wants us to do? Because you know, delayed obedience is disobedience. Are we walking in God's ways? Are we recognizing that God can do anything he wants, anytime he wants, anywhere he wants? Are we seeking to surrender our lives over to God so that we can be the men and women that he has called and created and blessed us to be? See, oftentimes God is going to just show up to inspect us, to have us evaluate our lives. How are we doing? I think that's what he did with my friend at the wedding, because I think my friend's coworker at the wedding, he had had a difficult life, right? And we all have difficult lives. Sometimes the difficult is different and bigger or smaller, but I believe he showed up as a point of grace to my friend's coworker as a way of saying, I want you back. I want you back. Why? Because I love you. Now, I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know what this guy's relationship with Jesus is going to look like, but it's a great start, because sometimes we get interrupted just enough to get inspected just enough to get directed in a different direction, right? So God's interruptions are illustrations of his grace to direct us, to inspect us, and third, to protect us. I think God shows up at times of our lives because we're heading in a direction that is heading towards destruction. And I believe that God shows up through people, through the voice of other people, through his word. I believe God shows up through his spirit inside of us going, no, 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 no. Sometimes we get that even, it's kind of like old time days here. Remember that danger, Will Robinson, right? That robot, you know, that was like your head, like something's coming that could be devastating to you. Well, I believe that some of you right now, hearing my voice, being a part of this message, might be doing some things or some things that are destructive in your life. And the miracle that God wants you to do right now is to listen and stop. To listen and stop. To reorient your lives so that he might direct you where he wants you to be. Because God often just shows up and shows off to direct us, to inspect us, and to protect us. Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. See, when we are walking tightly with God, there's lots of things that we're going to be protected from because we're just not going to be tempted to do them. That when we just walk in this obedient place with God, we are protected. But sometimes God is going to just show up and interrupt our lives because he is screaming from the heavens, danger. Like you are about to be a train wreck. Some of us might be headed for the train wreck right now. And maybe, like my friend's coworker, you're kind of the byproduct today, and you're like, wow, that's like exactly what I need, because God's interrupting me and my plans and my schedule. So God shows up with interruptions to direct us, to inspect us, to protect us, and I think fourth, to bless us. I think God just shows up to bless us. And generally that happens when we're really walking tight with him, or when we're seeking to walk tight with him, because God understands our intentions when they're real intentions and when they're intentions that are making progress. Psalm 37:4. I've gone to the Psalms a lot. Do you know, it's important for us to read the Psalms. And I got to be honest with you, I've never been like a great poetic kind of guy. I've never gotten it. I remember going through English. I'm like, I hate poetry. I really did. But I read the Psalms and I read how they teach us how to pray. They teach us how to have a right relationship with God. They teach us how God talks to us. They teach us how, like David, who is responsible for writing the majority of all the Psalms, we believe, how he just kind of made a train wreck with his life, with the whole Bathsheba and Uriah kind of thing. But amidst all of that, his reference point was still God. And so he would still come back to God, and he teaches us about that. It says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart, or give you your heart's desire. So God decides to bless us because he wants to show us his favor. I believe that God just shows up. He interrupts our lives because sometimes he just wants to bless us. It's like he's going, well done, my daughter. Well done, my son. Well done, my child. You've been faithful, and I'm going to bless your socks off. Why? Because he loves to show up and show off in the most ordinary times, in the most ordinary places, and in the pretty spectacular, extraordinary sort of ways. So my question for you that I alluded to at the beginning that we're coming to right now is this. Are you willing to let God interrupt your schedule and change your plans as he sees fit? See, God wants to direct you, to inspect you, to protect you, and God wants to bless you. God wants to interrupt your life because his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His destination for us is different than ours. He wants to bless us, but we have to position ourselves to be blessed. We have to position ourselves to be interrupted by God. And so are you willing to let God interrupt your schedule and change your plans as he sees fit? See, God might just have a miracle that he wants to work in you, with you, or through you. He might just have a miracle that he wants to work in you, with you, or through you, and he's interrupting you to accomplish that. So are you positioning yourselves to listen? And are you willing to allow God to change your plans as he sees fit? So I guess I just summarize it this way. Are you willing?